Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Do you think so?
Maybe.
The Texans are signing Michael Dieter to a center.
Is that well, he has also played...
I mean, guard. Another one-year deal? You're not going to sign a center now? You're not going to draft a center?
Well, you just re-signed Questenberry, too.
Yeah, you signed him to what? A one-year deal or whatever. What, no, they haven't done anything more than 2 years. It might be a two-year deal. They haven't done anything more than 2 years. There's nothing, no position that they can't draft. No position.
Well, remember that Michael Dieter also was...
Except maybe running back.
Michael Dieter was also a... is it Dieter or Dieter? I think it is Dieter. He was also a... He didn't even start last year for Miami.
No.
Nah. He ain't been a starter since 19. 19 he started, and then he got 0, 8, and 0. So this is just a backup. This is just depth. He's center guard. He played guard also at, and it wouldn't shock me if they're looking at him as a guard possibly, but he played center guard at Wisconsin. So he could just be, it might not keep them from drafting the center. He may just be backup on the offensive line.
Yeah. I mean, if he makes a team.
And it's a one-year...
Again, name one guy that they've signed that would prohibit them from drafting.
Well, it could prohibit it for a year. That's the whole thing with free agency is it takes it off your radar potentially as a need for a year. And maybe you move forward. Maybe they don't have this...
Well, I think running back they don't need right now.
Well,
but there's no other position on this team that you say, well, we got this guy.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying... Like, I think they're precluded now based on the moves they've made. I would say there's a good chance you're not going to see wide receiver in the first or second round. Their first three picks, I would not expect a wide receiver because it just doesn't make sense. Like, they're not going to not play Nico. They're not going to not play John Metchie. And they've given Robert Woods enough money guaranteed that he's expected to play. You would think that's I'm going to play money. If you draft a wide receiver inside the first three picks, the first 33 picks, you're going to expect him to get some playing time. And unless they don't think Mechie's going to come back, or unless they're done with Nico Collins, I don't see that being one of their priorities. They've cleaned it up enough to where they don't have to draft it. That's really what free agency is for most teams. Let's clean this up enough so we're not predictable in our draft and we're not desperate. Now the Texans with Dieter and Questenberry, I would say they absolutely could get better at center with the draft. It would not. Dieter can play center guard, so I would say. Maybe it knocks them down. Like maybe they look at a guy like Ricky Stromberg from Arkansas who they say we got a fourth round grade on him, so we'll circle him in the fourth if he's there. Or maybe we have Juice Newton he can't play zone scheme, but you can Juice Scruggs, I mean, but you could not Juice Newton playing with the Queen of Hearts. She sang that song. I do not want her at center. She's old. I don't think she's big enough to play center. Against nose tackles, I'd rather have Juice Scruggs from Penn State than Juice Newton.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I'd rather have Andre Scrub pitching and I'd rather Olivia Newton-John singing than Juice Newton.
Yeah. Dead, though.
Dead, but I'd rather have her voice.
Yeah, in general.
Yeah, in general. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I want this out there. I don't want this lingering. I don't want Juice Newton as a center for the Texans.
Okay. I don't want Colin Cowherd deciding whether or not I'm a success or a failure.
No, because apparently it doesn't matter what your success looks like.
I mean, if I say you're the Michael Jordan of something.
It's usually pretty good.
I said this. No. I said this about my wife on Valentine's Day. They did a write-up and culture map of all Bregman and his wife and all these different couples. And I said, my wife is amazing, amazing. I mean, she works all these hours, and yet she can – there's a package at my door every day. She's the Michael Jordan of shopping. She is –
I thought you were going to say something good.
No, I did. I did. She's unbelievable.
You said something accurate.
It is. There's no question about this. She's unbelievable. So if you're the Michael Jordan of something, you're the best. You're the best ever. Not according to Colin Cowherd. Here's Colin Cowherd on Michael Jordan.
So he tried baseball. He failed. He tried ownership. He was awful. He tried the Wizards. It bombed. Everybody understand that take out Scottie Pippen and Phil Jackson, this whole Michael Jordan mythology is sort of just that. He's arguably the greatest basketball player of all time. Michael was always a bit of a selfish player. He's a bit of a selfish guy, and he's not great at building community. He's great at building wealth for Michael Jordan. That's fine. It's not a criticism. It's a reality of who Michael is.
Other than Scottie and Phil, listen, before Scottie came along, Michael Jordan was unbelievable. I mean, not winning. He didn't win.
Yeah, but it's a team sport. One
and by
guy
the way,
that's
you
why,
could argue it's the other way. If Phil didn't have Michael and Scottie,
he
and Phil didn't have Kobe and Shaq, Phil would have been just
you
the
could
guy.
Always make that argument. With basically, they just had to build out a roster. I mean, the Bulls were... This is the problem with looking at... I saw somebody have this stat the other day. Jordan was 1-6 before Scottie Pippen came along. He was 1-6 in the playoffs. Tell me the rest of the roster. You know who they were playing against? They sucked. The roster sucked.
It was awful.
And they were playing against really good Celtics teams is who you faced off against. Because if you're an 8 seed, you were facing historic Boston
Celtics
teams. And
he put 63
teams.
On the Celtics in a playoff game.
Michael Jordan, Larry Bird called him Jesus.
Yeah.
Said that it looked like he was Jesus in a basketball uniform or whatever. This is why there's a ridiculous take. It's a ridiculous take because you obviously have to have guys around you. You talk about Scottie Pippen. Let's go through the rest of the team. Craig Hodges, Steve Kerr, Bill Winnington, Bill Cartwright. You had Luke Longley. Like, Ron Harper was fine. He was fine. It's a ridiculous thing to say. Now building teams as an owner, being a, you know, his moves, GM, look, LeBron's terrible at it. Michael Jordan was terrible at it. He's not been good at that aspect at all. He's right about that. Was he right about Jordan's personality? And yeah, was Jordan a bully and maybe not a culture builder? Yeah. I mean, Jordan built a culture of a strong desire to win, but I think Tom Brady, for example, is better as a teammate than Michael Jordan was. I don't think any of that's... But to say Michael Jordan wasn't a success without Scottie, if it wasn't Scottie Pippen they traded for, it could have been another player.
Yeah.
It could have been maybe Detlef Schrempf. I don't know. And Jordan would have won titles. He just happened to get one guy. Oh, he had a teammate. Imagine that. He was able to get a teammate.
Yeah. Listen,
I think
has he been a good owner? No.
They would have won a championship, I think, with Doug Collins, as long as you had. You know, I mean, frankly, Jerry Krause making that move where he traded up to get Scottie Pippen, that was a pretty shrewd move.
Michael Jordan, general manager, when he was a player,
awful. Was
awful. Michael Jordan, general
Michael
manager.
Michael Jordan, almost general manager. Yeah. Like, they didn't even follow the moves he wanted to
make.
No,
but he was, and that's why he hated Crumbs Krause, is because he wouldn't do the stuff he wanted to do, and yet, look at the success that they had because they didn't listen to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, a general manager as an owner, terrible. No, there's no question about that.
I would agree with all that.
Yeah. I mean, he has been, and it's why he and Charles don't talk to this day, because Charles was actually honest about Michael Jordan and his ownership. But
okay, so if you had to say, who is the greatest, LeBron or Jordan?
I'm not talking.
See, you can always sneak into it. Let's get to a LeBron talk with Justin. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. I was just flashing back when y'all started talking about this. Whatever happened to the story of LeBron doing PEDs, like, did that ever take
exactly what I said would? Nothing. Nobody picked it up.
You were dead
nothing.
On. I thought it was going to be a major story.
It should have been a major story.
It was.
But it's obvious it was not going to be a major story. A, outlets are probably nervous about getting sued if the information wasn't good information. And you know what? Actually, let's be honest about it, John. You have a guy who is kind of a wrestling type of guy, really. He's an MMA fighter. But Chael Sonnen said something matter-of-factly. Before you run with that, realistically, you should vet that. You should do, but it should start a.
You have to vet it.
Yeah, but it should start. Somebody should be an investigative
journalist.
The Athletic
is not investigating this. I'm shocked. Well, maybe they are. Maybe they.
I'll bet you they're not.
But how could you not? When someone of the stature of LeBron is accused by someone who he feels
of cheating,
the same.
Remember the Astros cheating scandal?
Yeah.
This is literally, he is the highest scorer of all time, broke a coveted record. He is in conversation to be one of the greatest ever. When it was Barry Bonds, it was a major story.
Huge.
Now, you had investigative journalists in San Francisco looking into it. Right now,
why would they not be looking into it?
Somebody should be following up with Chael Sonnen and saying, are you willing to go on the record? Well, he's already on the record. Are you willing to give us more information?
Is there any kind of proof that you have?
No, and that's, but you can still look into it.
Who's the guy?
Like if somebody said that about
Jordan. Who's your druggist?
Where we are in society now. Even if you say that, even if it's out there, people don't care. And if you say LeBron used it, they wouldn't care. LeBron fans don't care. They're not going to back off.
I think it would change. Would change the narrative if he did that.
No, you can say that, but if LeBron says, no, I never did, people just say he never did.
Well, no.
He said he never did.
Not if you have proof. I mean, if you actually have the guy who sold it to
him. John, there's actual proof all the time in politics, and the side who doesn't like the proof just ignores it.
Yeah, that's true.
LeBron people are not going to – your proof doesn't matter to
them. No, but you could – the Jordan people – in this never-ending battle of Jordan versus LeBron,
yes,
they could always go to the steroid card.
Well, we'll see if they try to use it. Like I've tried to use Dodgers cheated against Dodger fans. They act like it never happened because the national media never did anything with it.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy too, isn't it? I thought cheating in baseball is huge. Where are all the stories on the Astros? Do you see all the coverage of the Dodgers, now this link to the Dodgers and cheating?
Oh, no.
And
the Red Sox and their championship?
Where's ESPN's coverage of it?
None.
This is why I knew LeBron wouldn't even get mentioned.
No.
It wouldn't even, and this is should be one of the major stories that we've ever heard, if it's true. Now, but it should be looked into.
It should
into.
Be at least investigated.
This is an investigative journalist piece if you've ever seen one. Somebody said one of the greatest players in the history of our game has been using
pads. I have a feeling
pads.
At some point this is going to resurface. At some point, maybe 10 years from now.
I think we get further away from the people wanting to know the truth.
Maybe
you
10
only
years
want to know
now,
the truth. Here's all you want to know. You want to know good things about your people and bad things about the other people.
Yeah.
That's what being polarized is about.
Right.
It's not just our sport. I mean, I think that way. You think that way. But an alarming amount of people don't care if the people they like
they cared
have
about
done
Lance
bad
Armstrong.
Things.
They cared about Lance Armstrong. They cared about Barry Bonds.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, well.
You're looking about 2 decades ago. It's a lot different.
Maybe in 10 years when we're in our 36th year of doing radio here in the city of Houston, I'll be dead. I don't care anymore. I don't really care anyway, if you want to know the truth. I would like to have that in my back pocket for all the LeBroners out there, the truthers. That
you still got it in your back pocket.
I can say it anytime. I can say it anytime I want. Well, you know what I'm saying? I can say it about
try
Tiger.
It. Try it right now, proof. See how it goes.
Huh?
Oh, no. You can say things without proof.
I can say it without proof. I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. It's just a jab. It's a jab at LeBron. I'm sorry. It's a jab.
Well, okay. That may be the case, but can SiteJab build you a conspiracy website so that you can go after whoever you want to on your conspiracy site? Yes, they can. I mean, as long as you pay. But Hector Garcia and I can tell you this, they'll build a site that will get a lot of eyes. They'll build a site that will be very easy to navigate. They'll get a site that will create e-commerce, if that's what you're looking for, on the site where you can go straight from, you know, straight from the eyeballs into actual turning that into a business lead or into commerce, frankly. You can purchase right there online. They build that for you as well. They build interactive websites where the person viewing it is going to stay engaged longer. And that's how you get business. Now, how do you do that? Well, there's different analytics that are used in terms of color scheme, fonts, the way the layout is, the way it's set up. But Hector and his people are the ones who are going to figure that out. You don't have to worry about that. And your brother-in-law or somebody at your office, they don't know how to do that. If you are in business against other people, you have competitors, you've got to be the best. And that's where SiteJab can help you out. Go to the website, set up a consultation, find out everything they can do for your business, sitejab.com.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Coach Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Time for me to talk about you looking better. Go to the website, okay, and you're going to see 975medspa.com, 975medspa.com. They've got a before and after of a guy with his skin, and it is remarkable. You drag it, and you see what his skin looked like before. And when Amy and her crew, you see what it looks like after, and it's like night and day. And look, if you're looking for the best way to you look better, guys, I mean, and you want to lose some weight? Yeah, she's got an unbelievable method that is working in a matter of weeks, okay? She's got stuff that you could do for your face that you can do for your hair. How about removing hair? If you've got back hair, if you've got ear hair, nose hair, all of this hair that you don't not, you want hair on the top of your head. And ladies, they want you to have hair on the top of your head, not elsewhere, guys. You can laser it off and never have to worry about it again. This is, listen, a med spa is not just for women. Now, you want to bring your wife or your girlfriend, you want to have a date night where you guys do stuff, that's great. It's fun. You can do that at 975medspa.com. It's right here. It's on 610 between Richmond and Westheimer. Easy to get to. And you're going to look better. You're going to feel better. You want to feel happier, boost your confidence, look younger. All of these things are happening right now. Go see Amy. Tell her you heard it right here. 975medspa.com.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776, the number to hang out with us. Todd Kalish joining us at the bottom of the hour. In what we thought is going to happen, it looks like it's going to be David Hensley. David Hensley is going to be a big part of this team. I still think, you know, Paw, he's going to play Marcel Dubon. You're going to see Dubon. I think that, and he's put, when Dubon took Jordan's place, he would put him third in the order. I mean, it was, I just hope that, you know, they settle on it's got to be Pena at the top of the order, right?
Has to be.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anyone else. It's going to be Jeremy Pena.
It won't be
Tucker.
He hit
two. He'll hit one.
It won't be Tucker, even though he did bat Tucker a couple of times in the spring training at
spring,
number
yeah,
one.
But no, it won't
maybe
be
to get him out of there. Here, go bat, and then you can go play golf or whatever you do.
Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe that's what it is. Let's get him his bats real quick, and then go. He can go.
Is spring training boring to you?
Spring training.
You've
I've been
down
there
before.
Plenty. Oh yeah, I've been to I don't know how many spring trainings. It's tedious. It's a necessary evil.
It sounds fun in theory.
It's not really.
Well, I'm saying it, you down there.
Oh no, the baseball is it's not fun. No.
And you,
I like
do you golf.
I golf. Yeah, I golfed when I was there.
Yeah,
yeah. So I, yeah,
play the same courses over and over.
No, you got to play different courses. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean.
Well, that was when it was in Florida. You were there when it was in Kissimmee.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've been to Palm Springs as well. I've been to Astros, the new place.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's great. I mean, it's fun.
Not since I've been here.
No, I went before you were here probably.
17, yeah.
Yeah. It is what it is. It's not real. It's better than any other preseason, though. It's better than – because you could sit, you eat peanuts, you drink a beer, you watch the game. You know, the players are more approachable. You know, it's a different type atmosphere. It's much more relaxed. It's okay. It's all right. A lot of people like to go down to spring training, get away from whatever weather they're in, and go enjoy Florida in the summer or Arizona in the summer and in the spring. That's fine. It is what it is. It's not real. It's not. Yeah. David Hensley, he's got a chance to make himself some, not only make himself some money, but make himself a listen, there's a guy who has stepped up every single year over the, I don't know how many years now in the Astros organization, getting his first shot with the team and coming through.
Yeah.
They've done a remarkable job of bringing guys in who are ready to contribute at the highest level, because the Astros have been at the highest level now for since 2015, 16 notwithstanding. Since 2015, they've played baseball at one at the highest level in the major leagues.
Yeah.
So for it, and it's, and they're constantly relying on guys. David Hensley could is that guy this year.
Yeah, well, he could develop into that. I mean, you know, you went into last year thinking it would be Aledmys Diaz. We know what happened there. And actually, Aledmys was playing great before he got hurt. And then when he came back,
he always
wasn't the
gets
same.
Hurt, though.
Yeah, I know. That's true. And then he came back, and I remember he was hot right when he came back. And then it was like he didn't even exist in the postseason. When he got in, you never felt like he had a chance to do anything good. You got to have those guys. You have to have those guys on your roster if you're a good team. You have to have the fill-in guys. And Hensley looks like he'll be that guy, the guy who can play multiple positions. You need that Swiss Army knife guy. And Hensley could end up being that guy. We'll see. If he's not, then you may not have one this year. Because Dubon is not. I don't want to hear that. Dubon's not that guy. But Hensley might be that guy. And maybe you trade for it. Maybe you just don't have it this year if Hensley's not very good.
Listen, I can certainly see when Fromber's on the mound, he's a ground ball pitcher. Dubon is his personal second baseman, because Dubon was Verlander's personal center fielder, and Dubon is a better second baseman than Hensley is. So he's pawpaw's playing Dubon when Fromber's on the mound.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's going to be his personal caddy at second base.
I mean, there's no other way to configure it.
Yeah. I mean, because if we had a ground ball pitcher.
You know, if you had Yuli, you might have been able to say, okay, you know, let's take Yuli and play him at second, and we'll play someone else at first. I mean, you play, well, not Yordan. I don't know who you would have played. Jiner Diaz, will bring him up, and he'll play some first and be a backup catcher. You know, obviously, last year you had the strikeout king, who you got from Baltimore.
Oh, why you got to bring up Mancini?
What, Trey Mancini why you was a strikeout
king. He's not the strikeout king.
He was.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Yeah, he's strikeout king.
That's the worst. That's the worst thing.
That's what everyone was calling him.
Okay. Oh, because he's Italian. We're going to start.
No, everyone in my house was calling him strikeout king, me and Snacks.
Nolan Ryan is the strikeout king, and there's no other Nolan.
Nolan Ryan and Trey Mancini, strikeout kings. Jake Myers is a strikeout king, too.
I mean, it's just
amazing.
Remember
when Jake Myers was strikeout king for a while?
If he was German, you wouldn't be saying this kind of stuff about him.
I said that. I called Dirk Nowitzki strikeout king at one point.
No.
His rookie season, early on.
You called him, oh, I know he's white, but I'm voting for him for MVP.
That's not what you said. I said he's not a white guy. He's a German.
Yeah.
He's an international guy. I differentiate white guys in general. White guys know about the movie Hoosiers.
Dirk watched Hoosiers.
You don't know that.
Oh, I know.
Not
that
when he was
fact.
A kid. Not when he was young.
He loved passes.
Not when he was a kid.
He loved five passes.
If you're not watching Hoosiers by the time you are 17 years old, you're not a white guy.
No,
it's that simple. That's a good litmus
test. Everybody
loves Dirk. Dirk said, "Oh, I've watched it. When did you watch it? I was like 24. Oh, not a white guy. Oh, you're international then. Do you speak another language? Yes. Yeah. Beat it.
Not a white guy.
Because you know white guys." We typically, now you are different. You do speak more than one language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
White guy.
Yeah.
And kind of, well.
No.
Kinda.
No. Too late.
Kind of.
Too late. You called yourself white guy.
Well, I'm in all the communities.
You're not in any communities.
927 ESPN. Todd Callis joins us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, Craig DeSerf joins us.
Craig DeSerf joins me in my heart and in my mind every single day, because I think, well, I wonder what Craig DeSerf is doing today to make people's lives better. I mean, I know it involves getting you a new SUV or a new pickup truck. I mean, I know that. I know that for a fact. Have you ever noticed that we've just gone to pickup trucks and SUVs, different types of SUVs? Harder to find different cars now, harder to find different colors. But if they've got something that you like that's off the beaten path, or maybe you don't see them as much, well, I suggest you go to LandZCars.com, because Craig DeSerf is very likely to have it. They also have something else you don't see much anymore, 0% APR financing on a 2022 Chevy Silverado 1500 for well-qualified buyers. 0% financing plus no monthly payments for 90 days when you finance with GM Financial. That is a really big deal for you to get the 0% APR when you're financing with GM Financial, plus a $1,000 cash allowance on a new Silverado with a turbo high output engine. It's a great opportunity for you to get that truck today. It is a great vehicle. It's the Chevy Silverado 1500, and of course, it's truck season. So take advantage of it today. Go look online at all the different vehicles they have and all the different Chevys they have on the lot. Chevy, find new roads and go to LanceZCars.com.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
I want to talk right now for a minute about HRP. They are our payroll company. If you are a young, growing business, if you're up to 15, 20, 25 employees right now, and you're the payroll is becoming overwhelming, you have to hire more people to do payroll. If you're starting to get HR problems and you're all of a sudden saying, I don't know what to do here. If you're in tax time right now and the Affordable Care Act is in front of you and you're going, man, I don't know about this. And if you don't know about the Affordable Care Act and you don't know how to act with it, then guess what? You're going to be fined by the government. So you better do it right. And the people who do it right every single time, they have experts in the Affordable Care Act. They have expert technology that is second to none in payroll. And they always give great advice and tell you what you need to do HR-wise. It's HRP. Human Resources and Payroll, HRP, it's what they do. And then the benefits packages, your 401ks, your insurance packages and all of that, they give you options on what you should do as opposed to the other admin businesses that give you their options and make a ton of money off you. Look, HRP is the way we went. HRP is the way we suggest that you go. If you need a customized plan for you, go to HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Todd Kalas joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. At Real Todd Kalas on Twitter. He's the play-by-play announcer of the Astros games on AT&T Sportsnet. And I assume, well, right now it's AT&T Sports. Don't know what it's going to be. Todd, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago that we found out that Warner Brothers and Discovery getting out of the regional sports business here in the city of Houston. When you first saw that story or when you first heard about this, I was like, hey, how are we going to watch our baseball? I can't imagine what it would be like for you hearing this for the first time.
Yeah, it was something that kind of caught us off guard with in terms of how quick it happened. We thought it was going to be something towards the end of the season, maybe after the baseball season, but for it to all come down before the season starting was a little surprising. But being a team employee, we knew we were going to be okay. But I think for Astros fans, the bottom line is this year everything's going to be status quo. Everything's going to be on AT&T Sportsnet. It'll be the same broadcast team, hopefully for years going forward, too. Things are going to change in terms of where we might see the games after this year. But in terms of 2023, you won't notice any differences.
Nothing different. Todd Kalas, that's nice. That is really good to hear. It's good to see that you guys have been retained and hopefully it's a great, great team. I imagine you guys, hey, speaking of family, like, well, my peeps from Lulings were all down there last week, right? All Margie and them and the whole gang down there with your wife and all. And it's got to feel like, I would imagine it feels like family because you guys make it seem that way on the broadcast.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. Not only did I roll into a situation where I watched the team and called a team game who has been to the ALCS for six straight years. That's never happened before. But I also rolled into a situation where Jeff Lund and Julian Morales were already here. They had already established a fan base here. Fans love those two. So I was just kind of lucky to work in with those three. They're great to work with. We've had a lot of fun. We're beginning our seventh season. Blummer and Julia are now in their 11th season. So, yeah, it is like a family. We just kind of try and treat a broadcast like if you were hanging out with us in the living room watching a game. So it's been pretty cool to be a part of all this in the golden era of Astros baseball.
I want to ask you about something that irks me, and I know John, a lot of Astros fans, and it pertains to, and I don't think anyone's probably asked you this publicly, but Does it bother you to hear? Listen, we know what happened with the Astros, and the Astros were accountable, and most Astros fans would admit what they did was wrong. But it just bothers me so bad, Todd, that there is this misconception that somehow Jose Altuve was some type of ringleader in the face of a cheating scandal. It just, because of the person, who he is as a person, who he is as a player, his all-time greatness, it just really sits very poorly with me to this day. I can't get over the fact that so many fans still have this hatred.
I'm misinformed.
Well, they're just misinformed. Yeah. Are you just over it? Does it not bother you? Or does that kind of thing bother you based on what you know about Jose?
Yeah, no, it does. It does bother me, Lance. And I don't think I have been asked about it publicly, but Jose is the ultimate team player. As you guys know, you've talked to him plenty of times. He will always defer to his teammates and how great somebody else is doing or how great the team is. He very, very rarely is comfortable talking about himself. And in that same vein, he's never going to separate himself from the guys in 2017, even though it's been proven time over time. And people within the clubhouse know this, and people who have watched games on TV and deciphered when the actual banging was happening and when the actual guys were using that system. And two, they never used it. He used it like two times. He's like, this isn't for me. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. He is one of the faces, if not the face of the franchise currently. So from that standpoint, opposing teams are always going to be on his case for whatever reason, even though he wasn't really part of that scandal. And he'll always be guilty by association, even though he was innocent in that whole process. Really, those Altuve, Josh Reddick, and Tony Kemp, those three, if you get down to it, would be absolved from using the system that other people used in 2017. So it does bother me because it tarnishes what he accomplished, not only in 2017, but what he's accomplished in his career. The one thing we have noticed, though, guys, is it doesn't faze him. Yeah. No. All the booing, all the heckling, all the yelling. As much as teams fans get on him in the opposing ballpark, it's almost like a catalyst for him. It doesn't faze him.
No, as a matter of fact, he's leaned into it. He's awesome. Just a great person, and just it is. It's awful how he's become because of John Boy and that home run that he hit against the Yankees. It's just awful. Todd Callis with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What else is awful is his broken thumb. And we've been talking about it, it could be 10 weeks or whatever that he's going to miss. Who knows when he comes back. But, Todd, being off that long as well and not seeing live pitching for all of that time, we're not even sure how he's going to come back when his thumb does heal. So this is possibly a real big issue, losing that guy for whatever amount of time, losing that guy in this order.
No doubt about it. You're not going to lose a Jose Altuve and not be impacted. That is a big blow to the Astros offensively. You lose your leadoff hitter. I think the numbers the last few years with him in the lineup and with him out of the lineup is like a 0.7 run differential for the offense. So it's significant. He's going to be out 8 to 10 weeks. In the past, we have seen Jose a little bit more of a quick healer than others in terms of what timelines have been. But to your point, he is going to start the season, let's just say sometime in late May or early June. And at that point, he is going to be 2 months behind guys who have been in the big leagues and pitching all season long. So there is going to be a little bit of a curve for him to build up to get to the point where he's comfortable. So we might not see typical Jose Altuve until almost mid-June. It took him about 4 or 5 games this spring before he looked really comfortable in the box. Part of that was getting used to the new rules as well. But yeah, it's really disappointing to see Altuve out for this amount of time. He'll turn 33 while he's on the injured list. He's trying to get towards 2,000 hits this season, and it's going to be put on hold for a little while. But they'll figure it out. They seem to have done okay in the past losing other guys, so they'll figure it out. But Altuve not being in the lineup is certainly a big blow.
It's a big blow, but the pitching staff looks like it's certainly able to stand up and do their bit. Christian Javier. So you always saw Christian Javier had great stuff in the past. You knew he had the stuff. And then last year, it really, we really saw it all come together. There's a big expectation now, and there's a lot of expectations around Major League Baseball and with the Astros for Javier to step up and maybe be a 1A along with Fromber. What are your expectations for those two guys as ones and twos? Of course, they've pitched without Justin Verlander and Lance McCullers at different times. But now you've got Justin Verlander is gone. He's not going to be here. Who takes over the number one role, the true number one, when it's all said and done?
Yeah, the true number one for me is Framber Valdez right now. I think Framber has earned it over what he's done in the past couple of seasons, becoming one of the top pitchers in all of baseball, the consecutive quality start streak, setting a major league record last season. And then I think you're right. I think with Lance on the IL to start the season, you're looking at Christian Javier as probably your number two starter. So that's a little different for Javi because he's always been the number four, number five guy in the rotation. But as he proved in the World Series and as he proved at Yankee Stadium and as he proved with the opponent batting average against the last few years, he's one of the toughest pitchers in baseball just to put a bat on the ball. I mean, he just has that fastball that rides up in the zone and guys can't seem to get on top of it. They either swing underneath it or they pop it up. And he's got nasty stuff. He's always going to have nasty stuff. And I can see him really thriving in that number two spot because the one thing we have learned about Javier through the years, he's got the personality that's kind of sneaky funny behind the scenes, but he's also a guy that nothing fazes him. So being the number two guy, when you've been a four or five guy, might be a little daunting for some guys, but I don't think it's going to impact Christian.
Chandler Rome reporting this morning that Michael Brantley won't be ready. Jordan's got his hand. McCullers won't be ready. Altuve's not there. We've been pretty spoiled. We haven't had this kind of adversity injury-wise. We had Verlander, obviously, and we've had McCullers in the past. But, man, this is starting a little bit different than we usually do.
You're right. I think you're paying a little bit for 2022 when we had one of the healthiest seasons I've ever seen, including a pitching staff that hardly had any injuries where they couldn't find a place to get Hunter Brown a start until late in the year. So, yeah, it is. It ebbs and flows. Last year was an incredible year in terms of health, and this year it's starting out the other direction, unfortunately. Hoping to see some at-bats here soon from Jordan Alvarez. I think, you know, you'd prefer to see 20 to 25 spring training at-bats before the season starts, and unless he gets in a game soon, he might not get to that number. Brantley looks like he might not be ready for opening day. We already know our two-day situation. The good news is for the lefties, for Jordan and Michaels, I think those guys will both be back. If Jordan's not ready for opening day, I'd be surprised, but everybody's told me he will be. And then Michael shortly thereafter. So it's not like those guys are going to be an extended period of time away, we don't think right now. But, yeah, it's not ideal when you have the guy that was third in the major leagues in OPS, Jordan Alvarez, the guy that was fourth in the major leagues in OPS, Jose Altuve, and the guy that's a perennial 300 hitter and has one of the smoothest swings in baseball, Michael Brantley, all dealing with injuries right now. But that's the reality that Dusty Baker and the Astros face.
Do you have a breakout player for this year that you're expecting something from?
So, I mean, the easy answer would be Justin Dearden based on what we've seen this spring, because he might make the roster if Brantley starts the year on the IL. He would be the easy guy. And I think it's not really a breakout, but I think the guy who's going to exceed his numbers that people expect by even more and be an MVP candidate, I think Kyle Tucker is going to have a huge year this year. I think Tuck has looked locked in from day one. I think the new rules in baseball that are going to be an advantage for stolen base guys, and he's our best stolen base threat on the team, are going to give him a chance to catch his number of 30 steals in a year. He'll probably steal 30 or more, I would think, based on what he's done in the past. I think Tuck, you know, Jordan Alvarez, if he's healthy for the entire year, is always going to be the Astros' top MVP candidate, as he was last year. But I think Tucker this year could be good enough to be in that MVP race. I think he's going to have a monster season.
It's kind of scary. You know, looks like we only got 3 years left to Tucker. I don't know what, you know, the contract extension, but Jim Crane has been adamant about not giving out, you know, longer than five. He's never exceeded that. So this will be interesting to see whether or not they can get some. We'd all love to see Tucker in an Astros. He's going to be fantastic. We'd all love to see him in an Astros uniform for a long term, for his entire career.
No doubt. And that's going to be a major topic for as long as Tucker's not signed. So, you know, Jordan signed that extension, and I think Jordan is by far, or has been at least the last couple of years, put up the better offensive numbers. But Tucker's the better all-around player. He runs, he just won a gold glove. They're both about the same age. So I think the Astros got a really good deal with Jordan Alvarez, and I think Jordan was happy to get some security and sign that deal as well. But I think Tucker's looking for a bigger deal in terms of years and in terms of overall numbers. So there's going to be some negotiating that goes on back and forth. And I can't imagine Tucker in a different uniform, as much as it hurts to lose, you know, George Springer and Carlos Correa and other pitchers throughout the time, Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole and Charlie Morton. It's going to be especially painful to lose a Kyle Tucker because some of those other guys left a little bit later than where Tucker is in his career.
Any chance he leads Tucker off? He did a couple of times in early in spring training. Or is that Pena's job? Now with Brantley gone, any chance Tucker bats second?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I think Tucker could move into that two spot. So if Yordan's healthy, Tucker and Alvarez, Dusty always likes separating them by a hitter. You know, he doesn't like the lefties back-to-back, even though both those guys have proven they can hit lefties as well as righties. So I think if you're looking at a lineup where you have to space those guys, you'd probably rather have Tucker possibly two and Yordan four as opposed to, say, Yordan three and Tucker five. That's just me talking and what you suggested. So I think in that scenario, you could look at a Pena, Tucker, Bregman, Alvarez, Jose Abreu, first five. But again, Dusty's got a lot of good options, especially when you got a guy that has led the American League in RBIs and been an MVP 3 years ago in Jose Abreu. If he hits anywhere 1-5, you're in good shape. And if he's five, that's a pretty good lineup still.
Yeah, he's had Brantley second before with Yordan third. So maybe. We'll see. Interesting developments with Michael Brantley as well. Hopefully he'll be better and be back out there. Uncle Mike, what a locker room. I mean, it's got to be a pleasure for you. We talked a little bit about Jose Altuve, but that entire locker room, the guys that are in there and how the camaraderie that we see it on television, you see it up close.
It's a great clubhouse, no doubt about it. And I think that's one of the reasons why young players can thrive in that clubhouse. You know, things have changed over baseball. It's evolved over the years. The rookies are not just guys that have to sit in the corner and not be heard from and not say anything. But these guys embrace rookies as much as any team I've ever been around. So when a Jeremy Peña comes in here, he feels comfortable right away, and he's able to be the best version of Jeremy Peña, whether it's early in the season or in the postseason that we saw last year. Chaz McCormick the same way. Some of these young pitchers that have thrived, that are good buddies, that are part of the core of the rotation right now, all the same. It's a multicultural clubhouse, and everybody gets along well. There's not one particular leader, per se. George was kind of the guy back in the day, and then Carlos Correa took that role over a little bit. And there's not one guy that stands out. Altuve kind of leads by example. Michael Brantley says some things behind the scenes. He's kind of a quiet leader, but there's not one guy that you can point to and say, that guy's the leader of the team. So they just all kind of blend together well. It is a phenomenal clubhouse. And winning also helps. When you win 100 games or more for the years the Astros have, that also helps the clubhouse.
Always helps. That's Todd Kalas, the voice of your Houston Astros on television. AT&T Sportsnet, still alive. And Todd Kalas, Jeff Blum. And what a great team. With Julia Morales, what a great team it is. We really appreciate you, Todd. Love hearing you night in and night out on the broadcast. We really appreciate your time here. Thanks for joining us again.
All right. See you guys. John, Lance, I appreciate it. By the way, Ash is filling in for me today, so everything's good. I just get an off day today on spring training.
You deserve a day off at spring training, Todd. Okay? Don't feel bad about it. That's fine. We're fine with it. Good stuff. Todd Kalas with us here on ESPN 97.5. And 92.5. Time to take a break. Time for us to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing. If you're looking for the best plumber, we are highly. Listen, I don't know what it is. Listen, if you haven't done anything with your waterless, with your tankless water heaters, if you haven't looked at your
like
pipes.
Us?
Yeah, like we didn't. We had sediment in it. They were like,
you're not. You should get that cleaned. How many times you have to clean? I'm like, none.
Zero.
How many years have you had to take nine? They had to do three cleanings.
Yeah, I had to do
it
twice.
It took three
twice
cleanings
for
me.
Too. Yeah. So this is what happens that when you don't take care of your stuff, it comes and, oh, wow, my water's not coming out like it should. Well, there's a reason for that because you got all kinds
so
of sediment.
Sediment. What's going on?
Right.
I have to get new shower heads like every 9 months. Ooh, yeah, that's because you're not cleaning your tankless water.
Yeah. So if you're looking for the best way to take care, it's preemptive care as well. You have preemptive stuff that you can do that they can do at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Look, they're fantastic. I just gave the number of them to a buddy of mine who has got issues. If you're looking for the best way to take care of any issues that you have with your whatever, pipes, water heater, sinks, toilets. It's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. 281-488-6238, 281-488-6238, or aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. News of the Weird is brought to you by Simple Seeds. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple. Lance, let me ask you a question.
Yep.
If you donated your mother's body to science, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
She wanted her body donated to science.
She wanted you to do what she asked you.
What if science decided to strap her body to a chair and have it detonated in a U.S. military blast test?
Tell me more about this.
That's all you need to know, actually. An Arizona man was shocked to find out that his mother's body was donated to science. This is how they used it.
Well, there are questions that have to be answered.
Well, yeah. I mean, how many pieces will come out?
I don't know if it's that specifically what they're looking for.
Well, you know, what does a bomb, when you're strapped to a chair, what does it do to the human body?
Yeah, it sounds bad, but they probably are like, we need to know from how far away. Like,
why?
What happens from 3/4 of a mile away? What happens from 1.5 miles away? Do you think they had these just corpses, like at different distance intervals? Do 1 2 miles away. Let's see what happens. Yeah,
why did they have to strap her to a chair if
she don't want her falling out?
Well, you want her exploding into a billion pieces. That's great. Good news for your kids.
Well, we'll see.
Apparently,
about that.
A new study shows that dad jokes are helping kids grow into healthy adults.
I saw that. Yeah, there's no question.
You think dad jokes
and dad taxes and dad also dabbing, dad dabs, also. You know when Maddie gets in trouble, you know what I do to her?
You
I
dab on her?
Yeah, when my wife is yelling at her about something or she's getting in trouble, I just do things like I do like a very.
And she yells at you.
Dad, stop dabbing when mom is trying to do this. She's dry snitching me, but
right.
Sometimes I'll just do this. Like a little tiny
dab?
She knows it, but I don't. I'll just go. Or I'll say, what's over there? Or I said, let me. Achoo.
At your point.
I'll sneeze dab.
Mm-hmm.
She hates it. Hates it. But that makes her a better person. Tougher.
Is there any chance that you're going to go to Idaho and kill someone?
No, not at this point.
Well, right now there's a veto-proof bill that allows execution by firing squad in Idaho. If you are found first-degree murder and sentenced to death, it's by firing squad. Actually,
why are they doing firing squad?
Well, I think it's because there's so many failures with injections.
Really?
And being electrocuted. Firing squad's pretty flawless.
I mean, no, it works.
If there's like 7 guys shooting at you at once, and you're strapped to a chair.
What about if you're sentenced to death?
How about being blown up by the government?
Yeah, they got one. Or you hold up a metal rod up in the air when it's a storm outside and wait to be electrocuted.
That's not foolproof. If you're going to kill
me, you could end up with having superpowers,
have a reaction.
Remember when people get struck by lightning, crazy things, like they all of a sudden can speak Mandarin?
Yeah, right.
And play a piano perfectly. Like, this was the opposite of what we wanted to happen. Now he's a concert pianist who can speak Mandarin.
Well, saved his life. We're done. Paul Gallant is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. But first, let's talk patios.
Texas Custom Patios and Stephen Schell and his crew, they went out and they're building the kitchen for me. Now they're on hold because I got to go pick out the stone that we're going to have put in there, and then they're going to put in the appliances, and I just can't wait. I cannot wait to get started on having my own refrigerator out there, my own grill out there that's going to be – I've got a separate smoker that's going to be – you know, that's separate from the kitchen where I can do all my grilling. So I can really do my smoking on one, and I can do my grilling on the other. Very excited, getting a flat top as well. Listen, your outside can be your – home away from home. Well, you're home in home. It can be an outdoor oasis for you. Go look at the before and after, and you're going to be blown away at what it is that they're able to do for you. It's truly incredible. You're going to see, you know, your own house in there, basically. You'll see that the houses that are having these outdoor living spaces, outdoor kitchens, built from Texas Custom Patios, they may not be any different than the one that you have. So ask yourself this question. Shouldn't you have the best opportunity to live your best life? Texas Custom Patios will do that for you. TexasCustomPatios.com.
Alexis, turn it off.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.